shirt's on for you.
Hello, everyone. The title of our presentation is Incarceration and Women's Health, Looking at Including Voice and Choice in Effective Health Education Programming. And I thank everyone again for coming out to really engage in this really important discussion. I do have no relationships to disclose. And I'm really going to be focusing my presentation. You've heard a lot already, and so I'm not going to repeat a lot of it, but I'm going to focus mine specifically on a health education program that we have implemented and some of the lessons learned that we have really seen. And so as we know, female offenders really represent a vulnerable population, and we've just heard a great presentation that I'm not going to repeat, but really looking at this population and really looking at the intersection of health and health education and how can we begin to move programming forward in prisons, that's really where I'm going to begin to focus some of the things that I'm talking about, and looking at just a couple of things that haven't been mentioned to date so far in the presentation, and looking at gender differences in between males and females, that overall females, up to 80%, have also young children living with them at the time that they're incarcerated. So it's not just all the things that are going on with them, but then also their children and their families are infected. And so when we're talking about the whole scope of health, it's not just the individual woman, but it's her whole family that is leading and affecting the whole community. And so as we've heard, when before prison, it's not like a lot of these women had, great access to care. And so actually looking at, incarcerated populations have undersured or underinsured, and that they haven't been able to receive routine primary care. And so consequently, there are several health issues, not just reproductive, but non-reproductive health issues, and not just infectious diseases, but chronic diseases that women present with in prison, and that oftentimes are not prepared or equipped to really deal with and really to advance health and wellness in the prison system. And so looking at these health issues, again, looking at, substance abuse, HIV, AIDS, other sexually transmitted diseases, but also not to forget about the hypertension, the diabetes, the asthma, the epilepsy, the mental health issues, and obviously the abuse also. And so that we need a much more holistic, really approach to health and wellness in the prison system. Again, we know that abuse and trauma is much more highly prevalent in incarcerated populations, and that all programming really needs to have this trauma-informed approach. And so really looking at prison as a sort of unique opportunity to really begin to bridge the health needs of women and to hopefully connect those dots back into the community. And so looking at really improved health outcomes, but again, not only for the women, but for their families and children. And so really the collective community improving health and wellness. And, that research has shown that not only has health education in prison been linked to healthcare access outside of prison, but that healthcare access in turn has linked to reduce recidivism rates. And so that as the research base is, as you said, what we already know makes sense, but as the research base is building to really validate that we can have more effective programs so that access when people get out of prison and building those communities and reconstructing families and homes can really pay off in the community. However, traditional programs and health education programs in many prisons have been really focused on high-risk disease profiles in women, really looking and saying, okay, you're at risk at X and Y issue, and so we're going to, sort of flood you with these programs on certain risk factors, and really have not taken a comprehensive approach to women's health. Again, really looking at both reproductive and non-reproductive health issues, and really looking at both chronic and infectious diseases, and that really incorporate this trauma-informed approaches to care, culturally appropriate approaches to care. And so these holistic programs have really been limited. And obviously there's challenges to why, these programs, more longitudinal programs instead of sort of the hit and miss shop programs have been a challenge to implement in lots of prison settings. Definitely it requires the support of prison administration to implement more longitudinal and more comprehensive programming. Definitely, again, as has already been mentioned, the actual environment of the prison oftentimes is not conducive to implementing these comprehensive comprehensive holistic programs. The consistency of program, oftentimes there's a lot of flexibility compared to other programs that might be implemented out into the community that's changing dates and times and locations and formats and rooms of the programming. And so there's a lot of flexibility that's needed both on both sides of the equation, both for people who are implementing it that may pose a challenge of always sort of not knowing what you're walking into, but also consistency for the people who are participating in the program as well. And then limited health literacy also poses a significant challenge. And so what did we want to do? We wanted to develop a new health education framework for incarcerated women that was really based on a learner-centered and culturally appropriate series. And so what do we do? Of course, we developed a program that was based on, initially on evidence and evidence from the literature, as well as previously implemented successful programming that we've done with other similar populations and a reentry home as well. And we had key informant interviews. We also had discussions with women who are currently and previously incarcerated. And so we developed a program that was implemented in one of the in the women's prison in Philadelphia, and participants completed evaluation and provide feedback at the end of the series. And so what we did was we developed this education program. And one of the unique tenets of this education program was really the initial session. The introductory session really was the launch pad for the rest of the series. And it really started with, obviously, introduction of all of us and the program staff. But really, it was really founded on this framework where we initiated discussion around health and wellness and health risk and people's perceptions of health and wellness. And then we utilized this family health tree exercise where people were given just a diagram of a large tree with it had the roots, it had the trunk, and it had the leaves. And we said, you know, think about the roots of the tree. Things that you necessarily couldn't have control over, but these are just in your roots. And so think about all the things that the health issues that are apparent in your family, your roots, the things that might contribute to your health from your family and your roots. And so people were able to list out those things. And we didn't give much guidance on what people ever, whatever people considered as health, that's what they could put down. It didn't have to be physical health, it could be whatever. And then the trunk of the trees were things that people contributed to their health from their own lifestyle. And so I'm thinking about now you and your life and the things that you have been able to experience, what were the things that contributed to your health, your own health from their trunk? And then now let's look at the leaves and the branches, and what do you want for the future? What do you want for your children? What are your health concerns for yourself and your families and your children for the future? And so after they painted this paradigm, then we went back and asked them, okay, now what are your health priorities? What do you want the rest of the series to be about? This is not us coming to you telling you what we're going to do for the rest of these 6 or 7 weeks. This is now you telling us, now that you've thought about all this, now what do you want the rest of the series to be about? And that was the launch pad for the identifying the priorities for the rest of the series. All the rest of the series were definitely had the informational component, but were very interactive and all had a time for self-reflection in there. Again, we have already heard it had a very strong inclusion of trauma-informed approaches to care, looking at the sanctuary model we used, looking at the changing of the paradigm from sick or bad people to injured people, and looking at the external commitments, again, making this something realistic that people could do, that they had, you know, ownership over something that they could do to change their health and wellness. And so what we did was we implemented 2 6-week series. Our initial series was implemented on the unit. The introductory series was implemented on the unit with about 50 women. And then there were more intensive group that of about 15 women who went through the rest of the series. And then there was also other series that were held on the unit for the entire group. Obviously, there are competing needs for why all women couldn't attend all sessions, and we already knew that going in, and that was not the expectation, but, you know, court dates, other groups, visitation, early release dates. And as I said, the family health tree was a really powerful exercise that really helped to frame the education program, that women really thought, you know, felt that they owned their program, that unlike a lot of groups where come in and say, you know, you're at risk for this, you know, issue, let's come talk about this, let's come together. You know, this was something that they owned. They developed their curriculum, they developed their priority areas, and there, you know, they could see the direct relevance and the thread of each session of what they had identified. These are some of the key issues that were identified: smoking, sexual health, health literacy, substance abuse, healthy relationships. And so for people who say, well, what if you're not going to get to the issues that, you know, that might be at increased risk? They already know. They already know that. They already put that on the list. And so you don't have to fear that, you know, you don't have to be fearful that the important issues are not going to get on the list. All the groups that we've done, the almost the exact same list, you know, comes, is developed, but it's their list. It's not our list. And it's not us saying, well, we've done this five times. This is our list. And here you go. It's again, if you want to create the same list, you create the same list, but it's your list. And so what we demonstrated, increase in knowledge and stress and coping mechanism, basic understanding of nutrition and its association with disease, sexual and reproductive health issues, healthy relationships, again, identifying components, as well as the link between the relationships that they were in and its association with their overall health and well-being. Again, looking at the trauma-informed approaches to all health education, looking at really language that encourages and empowers, you know, never using any fear tactics or shaming techniques, really including this locus of control nature of what can be done right now and having a real realistic action plan moving forward of how you can impact health. Looking at health literacy, again, not making assumptions of what the baseline knowledge is or where, you know, starting where people are, getting people to, you know, teach back. What are you hearing me say? What is this about? And getting people to teach their peers and teach back to make sure that the messages that you're starting with are the messages that they're getting. And then SMART, having specific, measurable, achievable, realistic objectives that are within a time frame. Again, a lot of times, you know, a lot of women told us, you know, that a lot of times people are talking sort of these health-related principles that are, of course, we all get and understand because we're, you know, in conferences and APAJ talking about this health principles day in and day out. But again, sometimes they're dismissed as overall principles and people don't necessarily know how do they make it real in their life? How do they actualize this principle in their life? So coming down from the principle and the theoretical to specific, this is what I want you to do. This is what you can do. And when you do this, this is a result that you should expect. Recommendations, really using adult learner principles, and really having a partnership between the educators and the participants, having intentional language, again, that's positive and strengths-based. That's something that we heard over and over and over again when asked how this program was different from others, that the strength-based was really something important. Again, it's really important because of the flexibility and the nature of the prison environment that both health educators and, you know, everyone is able to go with the sort of flexibility that the nature involves. But intentional reinforcement, I mean, one of the biggest important thing was that the women really designated the curriculum and that they were able to really go forward with that and that each of the objectives and each session they were reminded, you know, this is your priority, this is your health issue, this is what you wanted to hear about, and that those key objectives were just really disseminated through each and every session. And so that the relevance of the programming was not something that we came and it wasn't our agenda, but it was their agenda. And that made, we believe, all the difference.
Thank you. That was great, Candace. Next, our next speaker is Giuseppe Ojukwu, who's from the African American Health Institute. Thank you.